Mercy and peace to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Two toddlers. One toy. What's this make? It's a recipe for a perfect argument, isn't it? Those of you who have seen this play out before your eyes will remember that it wasn't too long before one of the toddlers was running away saying, "Mine, mine, mine," whereupon the other was following after him in tears. This and other situations like it are what my wife calls sin in its cutest form. But it is sin nonetheless, isn't it? We are born and conceived, we are conceived and born in sin. And we see it even in the smallest of children, in their games and in the things that they do and the way they act. Sadly, as we mature, things don't change too much, do they? Someone said, the only difference between men and boys is the size, or maybe the expense, of their toys. It shouldn't be that surprising to us, as the text today has set before us, that we are born in sin and that we are therefore greedy, selfish people. We know this from heart from very young at age, and it does not change much as we grow older. In the text, prior to today's lesson, Jesus has been talking to his disciples and to the great crowds that have been following him about the kingdom of heaven. He has been telling them how to avoid the yeast of the Pharisees, which is false doctrine, false teaching, that leads away from God's pure, true, and certain word. And he says a little yeast leavens the whole lump, so you must avoid it entirely. He talks about confessing him before men, so that he also will confess you before the angels and his Father who are in heaven. And then, as if on cue, a man standing in the crowd begins to speak to him. He says, "Teacher, decide for me between my brother and I concerning the inheritance that our father has left us." At first glance, it seems like the question or the request is very off base. Maybe at the worst, it appears to us as though this man has not even been listening to a word that Jesus has said. The kingdom of heaven is not about earthly possessions. It's about right teaching of God's word, about the forgiveness of sins and life in Jesus' name. But this man really hits the nail on the head with his question. For Jesus has to answer. He can see the man's sinful heart. He knows what has prompted this question. It's a little bit like those toddlers. Mine, mine, mine. The man is only concerned about getting what is rightfully his. He's not even worried about grieving for his father. He just wants the junk that his father had stored up for him. Jesus, while not chastising the man for his request, doesn't do what he wants either. Instead, he turns to the crowd and warns them to be careful of all kinds of greed. Because as you will see, it is greed that leads us away from the truth of God's word and from the right understanding of the kingdom of God. He previously had warned them to avoid false teachings. And now he warns them to avoid this thing which is greed, which consumes people. And he begins by telling them a parable. One year, a rich man's ground produced an unexpectedly large crop of good grain. Of course, the rich man was well pleased with this harvest that he had taken, but he didn't have a place to put it all. The text says he thought to himself and devised a plan. He was going to tear down all of his old buildings and build up new ones, bigger, better, larger ones, so that he had a place to put all that grain. It says that he would store up his grain and his possessions, and then he could sit back and admire all his work and enjoy his life. He could then just eat, drink, and be merry. We must admit that the man's thought process is not very foreign to us. We understand exactly what he did and why he did it, and if we were in his place, we too would probably do the same thing. However, what he has done is not quite what the Lord would have him to do. And therefore, our motives are also wrong. Even though we want a very large nest egg, according to that commercial, one that would be delivered to us on a flatbed trailer, and we want to make sure that we have enough cold, hard cash in the bank account to feel secure and comfortable so that we can sit back and enjoy life, this is not the reason that our Lord has given us great goods, possessions, money, or income. Jesus goes on to teach that there is a problem with the rich man's motives. We therefore are condemned as well, for our motives are the same. Don't misunderstand, it's not the new buildings that are the problem. It's not the storing up of things for the future. It's not desiring to eat, drink, and be merry. Remember Joseph and the Pharaoh? He stored up for those 7 years of plenty. He enjoyed his high position and all of the stature he had in Egypt at that time. That wasn't the problem. The problem with this man and with our motives is that we don't care about anyone else. The rich man was only storing up for himself. He didn't even think about what his neighbor might need. He only put it away so that he could be comfortable and enjoy the rest of his life. Mine, 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 the man must have been thinking. Joseph, on the other hand, didn't store up for himself. He stored up so an entire nation of people could make it through 7 years of the coming famine that the Lord had warned them about. He didn't sit back and relax and do nothing. He continued to work and provide food for the people as God had given him to do. The text that Jesus speaks to us becomes very clear in our hearts and minds when we hear these words, "Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." If your treasure is stored up on this earth in buildings that rust and decay or are blown away in great windstorms, then what treasure do you really have? Nothing. So how can we avoid this greed and the love of money and possessions? It seems like it is so natural to us from our very earliest days. It is very much a part of us that we want to take credit for all of the good things that happen in our life while transferring the blame for all of the bad things to someone else. Doesn't it become somewhat self-evident that we cannot by ourselves do anything about this greed or this sin that we carry in our flesh? It should. It should be very evident that only a real change can only be effected by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He is the only one who can cause us to love our neighbor and to be generous towards him and to not think just of ourselves. The parable that he told in that light was exactly about this situation. It was about how to avoid being greedy by having faith that the Lord will continue to provide in the future as he has always done in the past. You see, it is the man who doesn't trust that the Lord will provide that has to store up all these things for tomorrow because he doesn't believe the Lord is going to give to him any longer. This may be it, and so I must store it all up and hoard it to myself. But what does the man come to? Nothing. It is only when, by the Holy Spirit, that we realize or recognize that everything that we have is from and belongs to God that we can begin to have a right picture about how we are to use these gifts. If we are only stewards of the things that God has given, then we would use them much differently than we do when we store them up in barns and garages and houses across the country. When we realize that we are only stewards of His gifts, then we can rightly appreciate all that He has done for us and given to us and begin to generously share it with others. This is why Jesus also says, "To him who has been given much, much will be required." So why did the Lord increase the rich man's crops? Could it be that this was a test for the rich man? Could it be that the Lord wanted to see what the man would do with these things that he was given? Would he fund the tabernacle or one of the teachers in the church? Would he share it with his needy neighbor or with those at the food shelter who were constantly seeking to be fed? Or would he think only of himself and his own pleasures? Of course, these questions can be asked about the good things that the Lord has given to each of us as well. Wise King Solomon in the Old Testament wrote a few phrases that are worth repeating here. He said that a fool says in his heart, there is no God. That a wise man fears the Lord and shuns evil, but a fool is hot-headed and reckless. That a fool spurns his father's discipline. And my favorite, as a dog returns to his own vomit, so a fool repeats his folly. When Jesus says to the rich man in the parable who is concerned only about himself, you are a fool, we ought to sit up and take notice as to what Jesus is saying. For all of these things from the Old Testament come back into our memory. This is a serious charge against the man. But it is proved true, because that very night the rich man's soul is required of him. And then what good did all of those possessions that he had stored up do for him? They didn't affect his eternal life. They had no bearing upon his salvation. Naked he entered into the world, and naked he was going to leave it. His riches would only go to serve another in his place. He didn't even use them to make any friends in this life. That is foolishness. We are often tempted by the world, the devil, and our sinful nature to store up treasures and to hoard our possessions. And when we do this, we also neglect our neighbor, just as the man in the parable did. And if we think this way about our meaningless possessions, as though they are somehow going to help us in life, or that we have somehow earned them, then we are certainly in danger of also thinking that way about our salvation. If we think we have earned what we have, then why not earn salvation too? But this cannot be. It is foolishness. It is foolishness to think that we can hide our sins from our Lord and God who sees and knows all things. It is only foolish pride that keeps us from considering our own sin and repenting of it. But oh, we are able to see the sin of others quite clearly, aren't we? It is foolish greed that makes us slaves to our possessions and causes us to think that we are entitled to what we have. For the record, I want you to understand that it's not being wealthy that's the problem. There's nothing wrong with being wealthy. There's nothing wrong with planning ahead for the future, for God has given you wisdom and a brain to do these things. The problem is when riches and financial wealth become the goal of your life, just like they did for this man in the parable. Once he had enough, he thought he was set. He had no more need for God. It never even occurred to him that God had given him this good crop, that God had blessed his labor and his farm. It never crossed his mind that God had given him these things so that he could use them to reveal God's glory to other people and to serve them in their needs. It doesn't often occur to us that when we are worried about our financial future, either as individuals or as a congregation, that we prove that we are doubting God's word. We also show that we are poor stewards of the gifts that he has already given to us, because we don't think that they are enough for our future. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ that our Lord's ways are not our ways, and that his thoughts are much higher than our thoughts. In the garden, God saw all that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And he was not greedy or selfish with his possessions. He gave them all to us for our enjoyment and pleasure. Even after we had messed up what he had given us as a good and perfect gift, he did not neglect us or forsake us, but was generous to us and did not withhold his only Son, whom he sent to take away our sins and to die for us. He gave up everything that we could have life. Jesus said, mine, mine, mine to all of your sins. And in their place, he gave you his righteousness and salvation. He declared you to be a child of God. and made you an heir of the kingdom of heaven in his blood. He has given us a most precious gift, a gift that Kylie celebrated this morning and was given to her through the waters of holy baptism. New life, Christian faith, forgiveness of sins. These are gifts that only the Lord can give and that no possessions or money or any amount of work could ever buy. He has given us everything that we have, our talents and abilities, our family and friends, our food and clothing and all things. Nothing that we have or possess or own has come to us apart from Him except for our sin. That we are responsible for. But He has even forgiven that sin. He has forgiven our greed, our foolishness, our lack of repentance and our lack of faith. He has forgiven us for being poor, miserable stewards of the gifts that He has given and of His holy word. What can we do or say to the one who has given us everything that we have and who has forgiven us for all of our wrongs? Let us simply eat, rejoice, and be merry. Not because we have done great things for ourselves or because we have earned anything that we have, But because we have a Savior who has made us His possessions and has saved us from our greed and arrogance and idolatry. Let us rejoice in the salvation He has given to us free of charge and not neglect the gift that He has given, and with joyful hearts go and share that gift with all those around us. Thanks be to God that we have a loving Savior, Jesus Christ, who made us His own in holy baptism and keeps us until the day of His resurrection. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.